The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two, a numbers game here on a Tuesday. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin on the desk with me as we've rolled through some baseball bets so far.
Yeah.
We got a rant in at the top of the show.
Politics. Taxes.
Just, I was going to say, before, if you weren't listening to hour number one, it was not like, you know, that type of politics. It was some other type of politics. If you want to see it, it's actually over on the Twitter machine. If you want to take a look at that, VSiN Live. If you're not, you should be, y'all are all following VSiN on the Twitter, right?
Should be.
You're not following Twitter on the.
Also, reminder, hopefully you're watching, listening live, but you can also take in all the replays over at VSiN.com or anywhere you get your podcasts.
We also talked through a little bit of alternate ways if you want some exposure to the Thunder. There are cheaper ways to get involved. Now they have to go your way when you have to, like, anything can't happen, but there are ways that you can get in on the Thunder and have your conviction on the Thunder and not have to pay $700.
Yes.
So that's
kind of
what we were trying to figure out.
We'll hit that a little bit more with Drew Dinsick coming up next too. See how he's betting it. I know he's in similar position as me where he's got some Thunder tickets. So see what he's doing, if anything, with the finals. And then I got some series player props to talk about later too.
Okay, we'll get on that. But let's see if you have any series player props here in this one.
I'm gonna guess no. But the man who taught me about Soggs, Matt Brown. That's what we're going out to.
Hey, he's the co-host of the Point and Fantasy Hockey Show over on SiriusXM. He is Jay Kahn. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, Soggs were great until they took them away from us, or they made it very difficult at least to hit the overs. So then as gamblers do, we pivot, we find value maybe in the unders as well. But happy to be here with you guys. Matt, as much as I love talking to Gil when I come on, it's great to see you and break down this the Stanley Cup final. I don't love all the days off between games, but we're one day closer and Cup final kicks off tomorrow night in Edmonton. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm glad you brought that up because that was actually my first question to you is, does the long layoff, in your opinion, favor either one of these squads?
I would say no for this time. Now, we do have instances where, okay, one conference final might end significantly earlier than another, right? But in this case, it was one day apart. Both teams are getting an extended layoff. There's no bodies coming back that are affected by this break. Now, Edmonton's getting Matthias Ekholm back, but they were going to be getting him back regardless of what the break was going to be. He was ready to go. And unfortunately for Edmonton, they lose Zach Hyman, and there is no timetable for him to return. He will not be available to them in the Stanley Cup final. So it's not going to affect anybody coming back. And, you know, really, both teams kind of hit the reset button. And I think, at least in terms of the viewer perspective, guys, and what we're going to see in this Cup final, I think you're going to get a very healthy version of both of these teams. Like I said, Hyman out for the Oilers, unfortunate. I feel bad for the guy. He's a competitor. You know, he wants to be out there for this Cup final. But Edmonton, fairly healthy, and Florida basically fully healthy. And I don't know if you could say that about both of these teams in the Cup final last year.
All right, Jake, I'm going to derail things here a little bit. We'll get back to the series, but I want to circle back to something you said off the top, kind of jokingly, but the shots on goal market, because that was one, I think, when you first brought it up when we were talking on Primetime Action 3 years ago or whatever it was, I think it was a market for even, you know, people like me and Matt who don't bet hockey. You could see, hey, that's a little easier for me to recognize value in as opposed to some of the other, you know, to score a goal markets, anything like that. So you've seen that tougher to bet, tougher to beat now. And is there other markets that you're maybe looking at nowadays that are like that for player props?
A great question. And yeah, the market has changed drastically over the last couple of years, guys. I'm looking like 3 or 4 years back. You could take 6 or 7 guys and their overs in certain games, you know, maybe higher pace games. And you'd feel pretty good about hitting about 5 of those players and knowing you're going to come out with a nice profit. And they really changed how they recorded shots on goal in the National Hockey League. They're very stingy with it now. There's a lot of, you know, borderline pucks that, okay, maybe that was going to hit the post. You know, if the goaltender's playing it just a little outside of his net. I've talked to former goaltenders about it as well, and they said they love those saves. That's like free save percentage for them. Now those are gone, right? So they're very stingy with it, which obviously you can pivot to some unders if you see some value there as well. But, you know, going into other prop markets, I think a lot of people, myself included, love the block shots this time of the year because guys are more ready to get in front of these pucks. It's playoff hockey, so you see your defensemen for some block shots. I think that's a market that you could certainly look at in this Cup final as well. And just your classic point, they can't take take points away. They can't take goals and assists away or be stingy with that. Those are always legitimate. So I think looking at the assist market is always nice. You get a little bit of an extra bump up in that plus money for an assist prop. So I'll be looking to that and the block shots a little bit here.
Talking to Jay Kahn, knowledgeable and handsome, if you guys are watching over on the video feed with all of that. Jake, the series price opened about 110 on both sides as a coin flip, and now seeing a little bit of money come in on Edmonton, to where at least at DraftKings, they're minus 120, even money there on the Panthers. When this thing dropped, what did you think of the price? What do you think of the price move now?
If I'm pricing it, I'm thinking Florida may be a slight favorite myself just before the series price open and the respect that they deserve for being the defending champs and everything like that. But in terms of the line movement, I'm not surprised at all, Matt. I think people want to bet Connor McDavid. And look, I like Edmonton as well. I think that they're ready to win this series. I think that they could draw from their experience from last year. They're familiar with their opponent. They have home ice advantage. There's a lot of things working in Edmonton's favor that maybe they weren't last year. I look at the health of Leon Draisaitl, 0 goals in 7 games in the Stanley Cup final last year. He looks 100% right now. So obviously we think he's going to be a factor in this series. So I totally understand the line movement. And there's also just a lot of Edmonton money baked into the market already. People have been betting Edmonton Cup futures since the game 7 ended last year. As soon as the market opened up, they're like, well, they lost. They were close. Next year's McDavid's year. So there's a lot of money already in on Edmonton throughout the market. And with home ice advantage, I'm not surprised to see that slight line move. But honestly, I would price it very close to a coin flip, guys. I don't think that there's much separating these teams. And really, home ice advantage has not mean all that much in these playoffs so far. So it's nice that Edmonton has that extra home game if it goes to game 7. But home road doesn't seem to matter to these teams, especially the Florida Panthers. They seem to be going be able to go into any building in any situation and win a hockey game.
So, Jake, I just reading between the lines, I'm going to guess that this would be a Panthers bet or pass for you on the series price. What number would you need to see on the Panthers to get involved there? And then are you otherwise, are you just planning on attacking this game to game?
So I will be attacking this game to game. Like you said, I think if this was a little closer to a pick 'em or maybe even Edmonton plus money, I would look at betting the Edmonton Oilers here. Okay. Just because I do feel like this is their year. I feel like McDavid's just got that look in his eye. I struggle to see him losing 2 straight Stanley Cup finals, but now I'm seeing that plus money with Florida and I'm going, man, I have so much respect for this team. They're so good. They just find ways to win all these series. And you could argue they're actually better than the team that won the Stanley Cup last year. So now I'm seeing a little plus money for Florida, but still not enough, I think, to get into the series price at this point. I think I want to see how these first couple games go. And obviously, we're going to see a shift in the price. So maybe jump in mid-series if I see some value there. But a game-by-game situation, and at least for game 1, guys, I am going to roll with the Edmonton Oilers. I think they get off to a good start in this series, feed off that crowd. They know they can't get behind 3-0 like they did last year. That's for sure. So I think they want to set the tone early. And I think they're going to feed off that game 1 crowd in Edmonton is going to be absolutely insane, and I think they feed off that and at least get off to a 1-0 series lead here.
Okay, so we're going to Edmonton there in game number 1, which is good for my Edmonton in 5 bet that I made just to have a sweat. Hashtag not game, hashtag not gambling information there. Like that is not like, do not, yeah, this, yeah, just don't take advice on that at all. Jake, 6.5 the total there in that one. Are we gonna see goals or no?
Well, I tend to think early in the series is where you're going to see some goals, guys. Now, last year, looking back at the Cup final, again, I don't want to read too much into a series that happened last year, but there is similarities, obviously, with these two teams. And we had more overs than unders. I believe it was 5 overs and 2 unders in the 7-game series last year. So if you look at that, you go, okay, maybe we want to play your overs. And I do prefer overs early in this series because I think you're going to see the refs call some penalties, maybe set the tone. As the series goes on, you get into 5, 6, 7, the whistles go away, games played at even strength, and both of these goaltenders have been playing relatively well, some inconsistencies. So you're going to see some unders throughout the course of the series. But yeah, for game 1, I tend to lean towards the over in these situations because I think you're going to see more penalties called in games 1 and 2.
All right, Jake, so I need the official prediction from you. Who's going to win, how many games, and then we're switching over to golf and the RBC Canadian Open right in your backyard. Tell me who you're looking at this week over there.
I am going to take the Edmonton Oilers. I'm going to take them in 7 games.
You said five.
Hey, five is possible. If they win both their home games... They find a way to win one in Florida. They bring it 3-1 back to Edmonton. Five is possible. So I don't hate your bet from a value perspective there, Matt, but I'm going to take Edmonton in seven just for maximum drama, right? A game seven in Edmonton in Canada. That would just be crazy. And yeah, speaking of Canada, like you mentioned, in my backyard, a little northwest of where I am right now, TPC Osprey Valley, I'll be there. I'll be at the course on Saturday, walking around, maybe having a few pints and taking in some of the golf here, guys. So I got to build a winning card this week. Certainly have to have at least one Canadian on there, and there's a few that are close to the top of the board. I always prefer Nick Taylor. I don't understand why he's 2-3 times the price of a guy like Corey Connors. As great as Connors is, awesome ball striker, I always prefer to go with Nick Taylor. He's a guy I trust if he gets into contention on the weekend. And I love the Euros. This is a bit of a link style course that we have here, so I like some of the Euro grinders in that 60 to 80 range. Maybe you look at a Ryan Fox, one of the Højgaard twins. That's kind of where I'm going to be building my card this week.
Jake, we got about 30 seconds. Have you had the honor of playing TPC Toronto?
I have not. It's funny. I actually got invited to play it last year by a good friend of mine, really good golfer, actually. And I couldn't. I had to work. I was too busy in the cup final, whatever it was. So work took precedence, sadly, guys, or else I would have had a full course breakdown for you. And trust me, I would have seen every inch of that golf course. So no good. But I do know it's a link style course, and I'm excited to go check it out and see what it looks like on the weekend.
Well, next time you're down here, buddy, I'll take you golfing.
It's also not that close to Toronto. Right, Jake?
No. Like no, it's not. I'm as somebody that lives right downtown, it's going to be a battle for me to get there on Saturday. But hey, these are the things we do to watch sports, right?
That's right.
Find him over on SiriusXM, the Fantasy Hockey Show, co-host of The Point as well, at JHon4 over on the Twitter machine. He is JCon. Jake, appreciate the time, buddy, and good luck.
Always great talking to you guys. Have yourselves a good week.
When we come back, tennis and NBA with Drew Dinsick. Numbers game here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Matt Brown in for Gil. Kelly Bidlin on the desk, and we got to get right to it because we have so much to talk about with our, you know, what should we just say, like, I mean, this is our, we're looking at going from JCon to Drew Dinsick. Is this a sports gambling show, or is this like Miami Swim Week that we've got going on here, right? Like, we're going straight from JCon into Drew Dinsick. You can find him, NBC Sports Edge, a deep dive podcast, and of course, Whale_Capper over on the Twitter machine. How you doing, Drew?
I'm doing well. It's great to see you guys. I hope you are well also. Enjoying/sweating the French Open right now. biggest stake I ended up with in any of the futures pools outside of some outright shots on center are my Musetti quarter prices. I got matched up, you know, fairly significantly at +195. And while it was smooth sailing through four rounds, he now finds himself in a tussle with the American Francis Tiafoe, who just will not go away.
Yeah, as we were talking about before we came on, I'm going to lose this one. I took under 38.5 games. I thought that Tiafoe's style was going to not play well with Musetti, and then it looked like, I'm like, oh, okay, this is going to work out, 6-2 first set, and then he comes back and wins the second set. So I don't think I'm going to stay under 38.5 here.
It's going to be a close call for you. Yeah. Really, you just need, you're going to need Musetti to take this one 6-4, and then Francis to let go of the rope and have a 6-2, 6-1 type of final set there. But it's possible. My fare right now actually is right around 39.5. So you're not too far away.
Not dead. We do have one more match that people can bet on here today, as Tommy Paul and Carlos Alcaraz are going to go at it. Now the price is huge, -1200 on Alcaraz, 8-1 there on Paul. Is there a different way for people to bet this if they are looking to get involved?
I think so. The market is a little overconfident in Alcaraz. It has been this entire French Open so far, for my money at least. This is not to say he's not the rightful favorite for the tournament, and it's not to say he's not the rightful favorite for this match. But he has been less dialed, less sharp, just less dangerous than I expected when we came into this tournament. Had pretty lackluster performance against Zoomer at night, notably. which again has been a bit of a Achilles heel for Alcaraz to this point in his career. For some reason, when he's playing in these night matches, be it at the US Open, losing to a Botic van der Zandschulp, or dropping a set to Zoomer here at the French Open, like for whatever reason, at night he is not as sharp. And he is, you know, he's vulnerable to, you know, anyone bringing their best game on a given day to taking some sets, doing some damage. And Tommy Paul does have two career wins against him head to head. Now, they both came in Canada on hard court, and this is obviously a very different surface when you're on clay. And Tommy Paul dealing with some injury concerns throughout the balance of this tournament, but played amazingly well in his round four, straight sets defeat of Alex Popperin. So I think Paul can hang here, and I'm kind of, again, I'm hanging my hat on the fact that we have not seen the best of Alcaraz this fortnight, and we have never seen the best of him at night for some reason. And so because it's kind of a nice little stew of you know, kind of soft you know, circumstantial evidence that suggests that Tommy Paul can make a match out of this. So I have backed plus 7.5 games, minus 108 is a fair price. And just in general, hoping that that Tommy Paul can show up for us today.
Drew, I know we got a lot of NBA we want to get to with you as well. So just jumping ahead, French Open here, man, a bunch of great matches coming up the next couple days. Are there any that you dialed in on, have already locked in for bets?
Yeah, we do. This is probably going to end up being the best slash most entertaining week of tennis that we get all calendar year. This is maybe the best women's slam that I have lived through in my life. This final eight is absolutely loaded, and the margin of margin of difference between you know, your first best and now your fifth best remaining player is pretty narrow. The only kind of runner who's not realistically a contender here is Louise Boisson. She's the surprise you know, player at the party, likely loses in straight sets to Mira Andreeva tomorrow. But Coco Gauff and Keys is an absolute battle royale. I have Gauff in the outright market at plus 550. I think she still comes through this. I still think she should be the head-to-head favorite against Mira Andreeva in what is likely your bottom half semifinal. And then in your top half semifinal, I disagree with the market making Iga Swiatek the favorite over Aryna Sabalenka. Iga comes through in a relatively meh performance today, I thought, against Svitolina. More of the takeaway was that of that match was that Svitolina just was not really physically ready to go after a really, really, really difficult round four match against Paolini. And you know, Iga did her job. She took advantage of the you know, the high leverage points of the match. But Sabalenka is another level up, and Iga having kind of had to come fight hard through the Rybakina match where Rybakina eventually let her off the hook. Sabalenka is not going to do that. And I think Sabalenka is a pretty decent bet at price here. I would make her closer to minus 135, and she is a small underdog here to Iga. So Sabalenka for me in the women's semifinal in the top, holding my breath that Coco gets past Mira Andreeva likely on the bottom. And then I still think Coco ought to be a realistic shot to beat Sabalenka in the women's final. But honestly, it could go any of the top four women right now. That is to say Andreeva, Coco, Sabalenka, Iga. Any one of them could win, and it shouldn't shock anyone. So really going to be a thrilling finale to this really great tournament.
Talking to Drew Dinsick. Drew, let's take a hard shift here to the NBA, in which we find the Thunder kind of in that minus 700 range on the series. Pacers about 5-1-ish on the series. Price, are we out of control here? Is the number too far, or is the number not far enough?
I don't think it's far enough, but I also don't know that it's bettable. Mm-hmm. My fair price here is minus 861, so I'm about a 90% chance that the Thunder win this series. I make the Thunder 9.5-point favorites at home. I make them 5-point favorites on the road. My most likely outcome is a Thunder sweep. My second most likely outcome is Thunder winning 4-1. That feels pretty reasonable to me, just given that you have a young team in the finals for the first time. And, you know, they're going to have a little bit of a challenge on their hands going to Indiana in that environment you know, getting game three. So I think we very much live in a world where Indiana takes game three and the Thunder come through 4-1 clinching at home. The Thunder are just such a phenomenally impressive team at home. It's tough for me to see exactly how Indiana finds their way in, even though Indiana is kind of a, you know, a unique team to prepare for and really well coached. And Halliburton obviously is playing out of his mind right now. So it's going to be, it's not going to be easy by any stretch of the imagination. But when you kind of break down these player by player ratings. For me, at least, this is the first series where Indiana is not going to have the best offensive player in the series. Halliburton was the best offensive player in all three rounds that we've come to this point, and now Shea is clearly the best offensive player, and they're going to have a difficult time matching up with him defensively. And then if you want to make an all-defense team guess, let's pick the five best defenders in this series. Guess what? They're all Thunder. Yeah. Like the closing five for the Thunder is the best five defenders in this series. So, I mean, if it's a close game, if it's, you know, if you're trying to, you know, put this thing away in at the death, it's certainly going to be Thunder defense, in my opinion. And so, yeah, really, you know, not saying that this is like, you know, the most confident angle of the season by any stretch of imagination. And if you haven't been listening to us, then you don't have any Thunder already in pocket at much better prices. So I don't know what to tell you. But to me, at least, this is looks to be a pretty clean, done and dusted Thunder in four or five.
Yeah, Drew, any other markets that you looked at, either for the series long player props or anything like that, where you anything jump out to you where you think there's a bet or anything you're looking to make a bet before final start? You just rolling with what you got?
Well, for me, again, kind of thinking that this tacks into a likely short series, it would be sort of series long player unders is a pretty fun angle. I do think that game by game unders is the angle of attack as well. Not especially close to this game one total, if we're being honest. I'm closer to 220. So it's to me, at least, I think this tacks, this is pretty clear series long player unders. And if you want to get like crazy weird, and I'm not trying to like kind of lean into recency bias, because we did just live through a Eastern Conference Finals where Pascal Siakam stole the Eastern Conference MVP from Halliburton somehow. And I had some long shot prices on him. It wasn't, you know, anything to write home about stake wise. So I just kind of laugh when you see it happen. But the voters for these awards, there's only nine of them, guys. Yep. And like, for whatever reason, like they send funny messages. The message that Jason Tatum wasn't the best Celtic last year in the finals. Excuse me? Like, he was the entire reason that they were able to play defense the way they were. Like, I couldn't believe my eyes. And if it's literally just going to be, you know, a hot hand stat counting type of award, then I think Shea Gilgeous-Alexander in the minus 600 range is absurdity. Like, there is very clearly a world where somebody like a Chet Holmgren has the series of his life. He's had a breakout playoffs to this point. He's 80-1. You know, like, and so I guess where I'm at is the second, the third, and the fourth most likely winners of this award are all Thunder. And you only need one guy to really catch a hot hand to be able to take down SGA with the way that these voters are treating this award. So my favorite bet, though, was 80-1 on that Chet.
At @whale_capper, deep dive podcast, and of course over on NBC Sports Edge, he is Drew Densick. Drew, appreciate the time, buddy, and good luck.
Best luck, guys. Enjoy the finals.
Hey, it's always NFL season, right, Kelly?
That's right.
Let's talk it when we come back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Matt Brown on the desk. Gil, Kelly Bidlin here with me as we continue to roll through on a Tuesday, following along over in Roland Garros. I was there a year ago.
Oh my God, I forgot you did that trip. Yeah. That was the golf in Scotland trip.
Okay, listen. I don't want to like paint a false picture here that this is how
I live. Hey, you brought it up.
It's not how I live. It just happened one time in my life that, yes, it was like just the most ridiculous trip ever.
All right, so let me describe it then, since it happened once in your life. Matt was over golfing in Scotland, and he said, well, I'm over here already because it's so close to France. And it was like, the French Open's going on. Why don't I just zip on down to Paris and catch the French Open? Pretty accurate description?
Okay. Well, yes, but... but here's the thing. I was flying out of London. So like I was going to London anyway. And right. then it's a 2-hour train ride or something or whatever. Like,
Did you take the tunnel?
I took whatever the train was. I don't know what the train is. I don't know what the name of the train is.
Pretty sure you had to do the tunnel then, right? Go underwater.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Are you putting this together right now?
I'm pretty sure. I don't know. But like it was one thing. I was going to be in London anyway because I had to fly out of London. So I was just like, well, when am I going to be back here during this exact time where I could go to the French Open
It is awesome how close everything is there relative to each other, and you can just hop on a train and be anywhere in a few
hours. Extended the trip 4 days and went over and took in the
It was a good move. As you described at the time, how many times am I going to get a chance to do something like this? Boom, you did.
Yeah, and
cross it off the list.
Yeah, and to Roland-Garros is just spectacular. You're walking through a neighborhood, and then this giant tennis complex just pops up out of nowhere. Like, there are people whose houses are just literally just, like, right across the street on this, like, tree-lined neighborhood. It's just, and then right across the street is Roland
Garros.
It's
pretty sweet. I don't know which one I'd rather go to, Wimbledon or French Open. One of them's on my bucket list. I don't know that both are, though.
Yeah, no. Well, now that I've done the French, I kind of want to do Wimbledon.
Right,
just
to
kind of tick it off.
This might shock you, and I'm sure a lot of our regular viewers. I have trouble, though, sitting in tennis tournaments. There's a lot of rules of when you're allowed to get out.
I've done the Aussie Open.
What's that?
Because I've done the Aussie.
You've done the Australian Open? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Well, I was down at playing poker for the... So it goes on at the same time that what used to be, which the tournament's dead now, but it used to be a big tournament down at the Crown Casino in Australia. But that tournament, RIP to that tournament, was awesome. That was a fun tournament. But
sure was.
But yeah, popped over. And so I've done the Australian Open, and now I've done the...
now you just got to do them all.
Probably.
Yeah, you've got the two toughest ones checked off the list.
The last one that I'm going to do is probably going to be the U.S.
You've got the two toughest ones already checked off the list. All right,
Absolutely. Absolutely crazy. So as far as like bucket list, what is the number one I can send you? Matt's going to fund your trip to sporting event X.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't know if I can rattle that off the top of my head.
You really don't know? It probably wouldn't be a Super Bowl, right?
That's where I'm like, I don't know that it would be a Super Bowl. I don't know that it would be a Final Four. I don't know what it would be. I don't know that it would be an NBA Finals.
Would it be the Masters?
Might be the Masters. I mean, that one's definitely on the list.
Yeah.
How far up? It's very far up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what I was going to say about tennis tournaments, though, it goes same thing with golf tournaments. It's just whatever sport you're more comfortable with. There's too many rules of when I'm allowed to get in and out of my seat and everything in tennis tournaments. You know me, Matt. I like to have some freedom. I like to be a little loud, you know. I might have a cocktail in my hands, you know.
Yeah.
It's very, you get locked in when you're at a tennis tournament. I don't like that part of it.
Okay, this is fair enough.
I like to walk around. I like to be the guy who walks around and checks out multiple matches, you know.
Well, Roland Garros is the perfect place for you to just go walk
just
around.
Just week one to
the
do
grounds
that.
Are all spread out. You can do all kinds of crazy.
I can be the loud, obnoxious American.
There you go. The drink choices, it's kind of like the same thing I said whenever I left the mouse.
Oh, no. Are you serious?
Drink choices not that great.
That doesn't surprise me as much in France where beer and wine only.
It's basically champagne. Like beer
and champagne.
Beer and champagne.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
Yeah, it's beer and champagne. So I was just kind of like, boy.
You know what, though? That still surprises me less there than it does at the Masters. That was a major surprise when you said that. I did not know that about the Masters.
Terrible drinks at the Masters as well. I don't know how you start your day. I know Kelly starts his day with a big old cup of coffee and then comes in here.
A whole pot of coffee, yes.
The caffeine intake for one Kelly Bidlin on a daily basis is something we should do a study on whenever it's all said and done. I already got like, hey, we're not paying those people. Don't give them free. energy drink there in front of him as we sit right now. But hey, I'm going to add a new wrinkle to your morning routine, and that is going over to the Daily Morning Bets podcast, VSiN. Go in just 15 minutes. You will get everything you need to know, make you a smarter, better wagers, all the line moves, everything you need before, I'm going to say the cup of coffee, not the pot of coffee, before the cup of coffee is done, not the pot of coffee. Mm-hmm. Most people should not be drinking pots of coffee. So go in. It's fast paced. It's focused, and it's built for bettors like you. Go in. You can also catch it over in the VSiN Watch app as well. The Daily Morning Bets podcast. All right, Kelly, we are 6-2, 4-6, 4-3 right now, Musetti. So Tiafo putting up a fight there in the third set, which is not great for my bet, but hey, no one cares.
I should have live bet him. I love Tiafo. That's all I got. But all the sharp tennis guys, Drew, Gil, Zach, they all loved Musetti in this tournament. Well, so I was trying to avoid him.
So Tiafoe is like a big, just a huge big returner and all that, which usually plays better on faster courts, right? And you play on slow. So I thought just with Musetti kind of and the way that he's played on clay this year, I'm like, okay, this is kind of where Tiafoe's game ends, right? This is where the run ends. I mean, looked bad in the first set, wins the second set, and he's fighting here in the third. So,
Yeah.
I'm an Elizabeth. It's okay.
I mean, Drew kind of said it at the beginning. I caught him saying on one of his pods the other day, Tiafoe's turned into a heck of a Grand Slam player, right? It kind of doesn't matter where he's at. It's just the bigger the stage, the bigger he plays.
So let's look at some of these NFL markets just real quick. I want to get surface thoughts, and we'll get them out there. With, you know, you can bet MVP, you can bet player that you know, offensive player of the year, defensive player of the year, coach of the year, rookie of the year, all the different stuff like that. I think that MVP is somewhat interesting, Kelly, if you want to go in and if you want to say that some of these teams might possibly not live up to expectation, right? And I think that that is where we kind of have to start the conversation with MVP, because you find that Patrick Mahomes is sitting fourth right now at 7-1 in this market, at least at DraftKings. I am of the mindset and I am of the opinion that the Chiefs might not be as good this year, mainly because I think some of the other teams in the division took steps forward, right? And then it's not going to be as easy to just rack up these wins as it has been in years past. You still have Travis Kelce turning a year older. We don't know what's going to happen with some of the injuries at the wide receiver position that we've dealt with this team and all of that. And so you look at that and you're like, okay, so he's taken up some of the market that's sitting there at 7-1. Okay, yep. let's not go there, right? Well, what do we look at from a Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow standpoint? Well, Joe Burrow sure might put up tons of numbers. He'd probably be someone you'd look more in the offensive player of the year market than it would be in the MVP, because that defense is going to be so terrible that I just don't know how many – they're going to lose some games out there. They're going to lose games in which Burrow puts up 31 points, and they're going to lose the game because the defense can't hold the other team. So let's eliminate Burrow. We eliminate Mahomes. So it starts to make some of these middling guys maybe at least a little bit more attractive.
I'm surprised to hear you're down on Burrow a bit this year.
Well, I think from an MVP standpoint. Yeah. Now, offensive player of the year, I think he will put up massive numbers, right? Like, betting him to lead the league in passing yards, I think is a very good bet right now. Because not only do you have those two stud receivers signed, but you also have a defense that's going to be giving it up left and right, and they're just going to be forced to pass the ball at 10. So I like that right there, but I just don't know if the team overall is going to be good enough.
Right, yeah. You think a lot of what we saw last year from them.
Yeah.
Again, okay. So that's interesting on Burrow and Mahomes. Well, Mahomes, I agree with you. So I know I'm kind of purposely avoiding the top two names for a reason. All right, so Burrow, that's interesting from you. I guess I would have him a little bit more in the mix, but I think... Yeah, I don't think you're far off with what we saw out of that offense last year. Probably a lot of what we're going to see again this year. That means huge Burrow numbers, but you're not going to get the wins. Daniels has gotten too popular for me at this point.
That's the problem.
It's too short of a number on Daniels. I don't think he's out of it. I think he's live. I actually think he could be live to win this award, but I second-year player, I'm not rushing to bet plus 750 on him. And we go down from there. I do think this sounds like you got some mid-range guys you want to talk about. Allen and Jackson at the top. Yes, I think by far the most likely to win this award.
Allen Jackson.
Yeah. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. There we go. Do you approach that any way differently?
Yeah, way down yonder on the Chattahoochee.
do you approach that any way differently with the fact that they play week one?
I mean, look, they're priced appropriately. They're priced appropriately. And, yes. And like, you just wait. But yeah, I mean, like, with Lamar Jackson, you wait because, like, they have a brutally tough schedule to start the year. So you're probably not getting a worse number than you get right now with Lamar. And then you said Allen Jackson. I can't get it out of my head.
But, like, Josh Allen, like, I guess if you like them week one, you probably want to have that ticket in your pocket now. I mean, they have a cake schedule.
Yeah. You want Allen now. You want Lamar later, in my opinion.
Okay.
The Ravens schedule's tough.
Yeah,
at the beginning
of
the season,
it's tough.
So I think you're not gonna get a worse than 550, and odds are you're gonna get a better number.
All right, I want to hear your long shots when we come back.
Yeah, we'll circle back around. I got some mid range dudes that we can throw into the account. We'll run through every single bet talked about here on the show, putting a bow on this one when we come back.
The Sports Betting Network.
Final segment here of A Numbers Game on a Tuesday. Where does the time go?
flies by when you're having fun.
I'm
my
telling
friend.
You, just sitting here talking through some stuff. Cody tweets in and said the World 100 at Eldora Speedway is his biggest bucket list item. And I would say to Cody, you must really love your dirt racing because
wait, I didn't see the tweet. Read it again.
It says World 100 at Eldora Speedway is my biggest bucket list item.
Okay, so it's a
Are tickets hard to get for that?
It's a auto racing event of some kind.
I hovered over Eldora
Speedway.
It says
where's Eldora?
It says world's greatest dirt track.
This is
what it says.
This is like age, sex, location back in the day, Matt. I'm like, I don't even know what sport we're talking about, location
well,
we're talking
about.
I can
tell you, dirt track. World's greatest dirt track.
In Ohio, Brian Ortega.
It says it's world's greatest dirt track. Cody,
are these like the buggies?
I'm sure it's cars of some sort or something, whatever, but for a bucket list, typically
like when the NASCAR goes to the dirt,
you know, and I'm not going to tell you how to live your life, Cody. I'm glad you responded. And I'm glad you're listening. But typically a bucket list item is probably one that's like super expensive and or hard to get to. I don't know. Maybe I could be way off here. Can you get tickets to this? Like, I don't know, like $17 or something.
I don't know, but I don't. Okay.
I would assume you can get like $17 tickets to this.
Okay. I actually agree with your separation of what the qualifications for a bucket list item. But you know what? I've got a lot more random sporting events like that in my head that I want to make. Like, I'm getting to a CFL game at some point in, I don't know, Saskatchewan or something.
If you're going to say in wherever, then where I've actually been to several Canadian Football League games, because I don't know if you remember when they expanded in the United States and Shreveport had a team.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So Shreveport had a CFL team.
I'm making it to Saskatchewan for a Rough Riders game at some point, like for sure. I don't know if I would put that on the bucket list, though, right? So I agree with your qualifications.
And then Nish said that my Alan Jackson impression was not bad.
I derailed you for the rest of that.
Settled for a burger and a grape snow cone. That's part of that song as well. Oh, you said Alan Jackson, just Chattahoochee's gonna be in my head like for the rest of the day. This is at the Duns. I'm gonna play it when I leave here.
Good.
Yeah, I'm just gonna play
breaking
it.
News, the Orlando Magic have changed their logo.
Because people care.
And it's one of those logo changes. You can all Google it.
You know what that is? That is called a money grab. Because now
you'll have to buy new jerseys.
Now you have to go and you have to get new shirts and new hats and new jerseys.
You gotta buy your kid a new jersey now. Yeah.
That is called a money grab.
This is one of those logo changes though where you're like, okay, I guess it looks a little better. You didn't really change much. Like you did not change much at all.
So the reason we were talking about Lamar Jackson, why you might want to wait on Lamar Jackson in the MVP market is just to point out. So they open with Buffalo. Yeah, you get Cleveland in week number two, but then it's Detroit, Kansas City, Houston to start the season, Kelly. So you get one cupcake in Cleveland in week two, but it's Buffalo, Detroit, Kansas City, and Houston.
Okay.
In the first 5 weeks. Now, if they come out 5-0, the number's going to be shorter. I do not see them coming out 5-0. I think there's a world that exists where they're 3-2, 2-3 after those, right? And you're going to get a much, much, much better number on Lamar Jackson, and then the schedule gets exponentially easier once you get to the middle of the season. Miami, Minnesota, Cleveland, New York, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati again, New England, Green Bay, Pittsburgh to close out the season, right? Mm-hmm. So you are talking way easier over the second half than you are at the beginning.
So is this a schedule spot you've already got noted?
So
something to check back in on?
It is one of the calendar notification things for me, but it's after I'm going to look after week four and after week five, because the after Kansas, they could beat Houston. So I'm not going to but you know, at Kansas City to where you're going at Buffalo, Detroit, and then at Kansas City, three of the games of the first 4 weeks, could you be 1-3? I mean, like, could they lose all three of those? I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility for them to lose all three of those. And if that's the case, you're going to get much better than 550. And I just rattled off the whole second half of their schedule.
I like that.
They could run the table in the second half.
I like that. I think this is the way for so many futures in the NFL. I think this is the way to bet them. And this is the time to do it now, guys. While you're you think there's nothing going on in the sports world. Use some of that time to prep for the NFL season, college football season, whatever you bet in the fall. And it's going through schedules like this and making notes like Matt's talking about. Okay, I know we got to get to our best bets. I want to finish this MVP conversation. I think if you told me I had to bet someone who's not named Allen or Jackson. I got to go further down the board.
Yeah.
The only name that interests me.
Yes.
Really the only name outside of single digits is Matthew Stafford at 35-1.
That is where you, and so that is where, that okay. was where I was going with this.
I'm really high on the Rams this year. I know there are people saying that. I don't know about you. I missed out on the best of it. Gil and I were both sitting here one day being like, should we be betting the, when the NFC West odds opened up, they were like third. Third down, I forget where you could even get them at, 4-1 or 5-1 or something. Gil and I didn't pull the trigger. I feel like an idiot.
Well, I do think that the Cardinals will be a little bit better this year.
Me too. I don't think the Seahawks are going to be as good.
I think the Seahawks take a step back. Yep. And then I think that the Rams and the Niners are much more on par with each other.
Completely agree.
Than people's perception is. And so with that, I could see a world that exists where a healthy Matthew Stafford with Puka Nacua now in his, this is typically kind of the incredible breakout year for these wide receivers that are really good, mm-hmm. right? Like, you've been in the league 3 years. Now you know every single cover. You know how they're going to play you. You know how whatever the coaches know how they're going to play you. He's fortunate enough to be under the same coach for all the years in the NFL. So they're going to find ways to get him money. Of course, you add Devontae Adams to the mix as well, right?
Like, that is like you said, of course. I don't know how many times I've forgotten and remembered that this offseason. Like, Devontae Adams is on the Rams now. Yeah. And yes, I expect Puka to have a massive season, but Adams over there, you've lost nothing really in terms of talent at the wide receiver position.
So for me, that's the guy I was going at. Okay. It's funny that you picked him out of the pile there, because that's where I was going. And if you saw him play last year, which I know a lot of you did, he's still got some gas in the tank.
Got an arm, man. Yeah, he's still got some gas in the tank. And he's got weapons. And
I know he's hashtag old, and we have to avoid the injury bug, but I mean, you know.
I mean, there's a good chance of winning that division, and you've got the weapons to put up a lot of stats.
So that's where we're going to go with all that. Let's get to our G-Bank best bets here real quick. I have two overs that I am playing today. The Braves and Diamondbacks over 8.5, and then the Twins and A's over 9.5. The Diamondbacks and Braves are running out a couple of guys that – their name value is very, very high. They've not been pitching very good so far this year. So taking it over 8.5 in that one. And we're getting winds blowing out over there in Sacramento. The weather is warming up. And of course, we know this Twins lineup actually getting a little bit healthier as well. Buxton back in there. Walner is back in there as well. Correa is back in there. He's swinging a pretty good bat. So give me the over 9.5 there in that one.
All right, I like it. One added one for me in the NBA. Did play game one, laid 9 with the Thunder. Might mess around. We talked a little bit about this yesterday, Matt. Might mess around and add a couple alts to that, too, as we get closer to game time. Not really sure where we're going to see this move. I don't think we're going to get too far off 9, 9.5 by close, but 9 was a good number for me to get in at. You play the whole free throw game in your mind, end of game. 9's an important number in NBA betting. Also, only things that I've played so far, Thunder 4-1 series, correct score, plus 215. Again, much better number at DraftKings if you are in a DraftKings state. And then Lou Dort to lead the series in 3-pointers made, 6-1. We'll talk through some of those markets tomorrow because I think there are some interesting ones in both rebounding and assists as well.
Yeah, this is I think that this is a pretty good exercise for us as well, because then if you want action but you don't want to get the action on the series price, like, let's talk through all the different ways that you can bet this thing. We'll do that tomorrow. Mark Borchard is on the Pirates first 5. That is about minus 175. Of course, happy Paul Skeens Day to everybody out there in that one. Dollander and Skeens parlay. It's a strikeout parlay over 3.5 for Dollander, over 5.5 for Skeens. And so again, that is a parlay, strikeout parlay.
Yep. Correct. Yep.
On Jake Hahn, he's going to play the Oilers in game number 1. In that one, of course, he said if he had to play it, he'd be playing the Oilers in the series, though.
Yeah, he threw me off of that with that answer, but yeah.
You thought he was heading the other direction,
I thought
I
he was
tell.
Playing the price game, yeah, but no, he it sounds like it'd be Oilers for him no matter what, even if it keeps going their way.
You were sitting there and you were like, oh man, this is definitely heading one direction, and oh, he zigged and you were zagging and all of that, and then Drew came out. Drew's sweating a bunch of tennis stuff that's going on out there right now. But of course, he has the under in Pacers Thunder in game number 1. And then he also took a stab there on Chet Holmgren, 80-1 for NBA Finals MVP. The rationale behind that is if you do believe that this is a short series that could be over in 4 or 5, which his numbers say that this could be over in 4 or 5. Maybe you just get a couple of big games from Chet in there, and maybe you could sway some voters. Maybe there'll be some fatigue. Hey, Shea already won the league MVP. Maybe we give this to somebody else. And again, you could bet both of them, Kelly, if you wanted to do that. I understand it's minus 600 on Shea, and that's not for everyone. But if you did want to get some Shea exposure, I mean, you're getting 80-1 on Chet, so you could kind of cover your rear end, if you will.
Yeah, this is, I thought it was a great point by Drew. If you are projecting a short series, right, it just makes it that much more likely that you could get some outlier performances, and all it takes is a couple games from a guy like Chet, and he could be right in that mix.
We got the $500 trifecta from GBank First Bet and Visa. Go in and open a GBank Visa Signature credit card. In the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet. To trigger this thing, $200 in cash back rewards on your credit card. Also give you a $100 deposit match bonus over on First Bet. And then, of course, you get a VEASAN Pro subscription to round out the $500 trifecta. VEASAN.com/GBank to apply. VEASAN.com/letter G, B-A-N-K. Good luck all your bets on her on Tuesday.